Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm joined by Afrande Zanzala, the Accrington Stanley forward who has gone from being held at gunpoint to scoring goals in League One. We discuss his relationship with God, his life-changing experiences and his career so far. Please follow the channel on Spotify and subscribe on YouTube and enjoy this edition of the Elliot Stockdale Interviews. Hello everyone and welcome back to the podcast. Today with me I've got professional footballer Afrande Zanzala. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, nice to have you guys speak to myself, and I'm looking forward to discussing with yourselves my career and journey with my footballing life.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on, and not many people will really know your story, which is why I was really interested in wanting to get you on here. So let's just start off from the beginning, right from when you were born. So you were born in the Republic of Congo, which then all turned into turmoil when you were forced to leave. So I was wondering if you could just start us off with talking about that, you know, your first couple of years of life, really.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, being born in Congo, you know, lovely place. You know, family was in a good situation really in life. And dramatically, obviously, things changed massively with the civil war, which happened in Brazzaville. And you know, it was difficult because obviously not just my family, but other families had to experience it as well, having to flee from you know, from the city to running away, from leaving everything behind, living in the jungle for a few months. It was difficult, and it was hard growing up as a child to maybe overcome certain situations with what I've witnessed or seen in life and living in the jungle also. But a lot of things have obviously taught me a lot of lessons, but at the end of the day, you know, that's been turned out for a positive and for good, with the message which obviously sits within myself, with my story of life really and my career.
You mentioned there that you were, you know, you lived in the jungle, and that's something that I found absolutely fascinating reading up about, that, you know, you had to live in the jungle when I think your father went to Austria, I think I'm right in saying, but you guys couldn't get over there at that time, so you had to live in the jungle, you had to find food, and you know, you and your whole family were just living there. And I cannot imagine just how that would even come about, how people would even survive. So just talk us through what really maybe a day would look like living there.
Yeah, it was, you know, obviously as you said yourself, it's hard to be able to maybe live in them environments, or you know, having to adapt every day to whatever challenge comes. And obviously one of the biggest challenges was maybe having food, you know, and health was a big problem and a big issue with drinking, like, you know, clean water and having to just eat whatever you can eat. And just the health wise as well, in terms of, you know, not living in a good condition. You know, staying outside. Sometimes we stayed in different villages in the jungle as well. And, you know, just that itself, it, as you can imagine, it's very hard to take. And it's like life and death, really, every day, really, because you don't know what could happen. As I said, there's loads of illnesses which people got ill from various things. And, you know, it was just a case of everyone just coming together as a big family and supporting each other wherever we can. And my dad, obviously, as you said, wasn't there at the time. He was in Austria, you know, trying to get papers sorted for us to come. And, you know, so it was just my mum and my brothers. And then from there, yeah, it was even hard, obviously, for my mum, as you can imagine, having kids, you know, to look after as well as herself. And then obviously eventually coming to England, to Austria, things changed massively as well for the better, but still a challenge as well, adapting in a different culture.
How important then are your family, and were your family, you know, when you were a kid and now, you know, now you're, you know, an adult, how important have your family been through your entire life?
I mean, family's important regardless, whatever happens, you know, family's importance is key to people doing well in life, to having a platform to start off. And family could be, you know, where you get your rest, you know, your motivation and your drive. And I guess in my story, my family played a massive part, supporting not just myself, but each other wherever we can, and being there for each other wherever we can. You know, just basically just, you know, keeping close to each other has given us that special relationship with each other in the family, especially obviously what we've gone through, to not maybe as small as taking each other for granted or taking life for granted. But my family obviously played a massive part to my life anyway. And I'm sure, you know, everyone has played a part in each other's lives. But it's just good to see, obviously, from what we were and where we was before to where we are now in life is such a positive. And it's encouraging for maybe people who I speak to. And, you know, it's like refreshing because it's a sign of maybe not giving up and, you know, keep going and, you know, staying positive as much as you can, especially in difficult times in any situation which you're in.
Have you ever been back to Congo since all this happened? Obviously now it's probably 15, 20 years since, you know, you left. I was just wondering to see if you'd actually ever been back or ever thought of going back.
No, I've not been back since, and I'm sure I would like to go back, you know, if I get the chance at the right time. Obviously, with what I've had to experience, you just have to bear that in mind, you know. But besides that, you know, as I've said, it's a lovely place to be. You know, we were living fine before everything obviously happened. You know, Africa as a whole is a lovely place. You know, obviously things happen, but every country and every continent's got their positives and negatives. In our case, having to experience war was obviously difficult, but doesn't mean that I would never want to go back, because obviously I've got aunties and relatives still there, which I've not seen since I've left. And they just obviously hear news, for example, of me playing football, or this person's doing this, or they're working there, or this person's got a kid. So it's good to you know, to still have families there, but it's not the same, obviously, not being able to see them, having left so long ago.
Have you got any memories, you know, probably bad ones, obviously, due to what was going on there, but have you got anything that you can really remember of when you were trying to survive that, you know, really just comes to the top of your memory?
There's been a few situations where, situations in terms of, you know, where the rebels, for example, were held us to a gunpoint, where, you know, it was like life and death situation. There was a few situations where, you know, I can remember other family members being ill. We experienced witchcraft, you know, where we were staying as well. Obviously, along the line of people dying also. And, you know, there's loads, you know, which maybe for another person, you know, it's obviously like traumatizing. Images, for example, or things that we had to go through, which lasts forever in your life, you know, whenever you maybe look back or get reminded. But it's, at the end of the day, it was a negative, but we've turned out to a positive, and I think that's the main thing, you know, which we have done in our life, really, and that's our kind of story of maybe our way of saying that we've become successful in life. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to have millions or millions or have loads of cars or loads of houses and that. You know, our way of maybe just turning our life around from where we were to what we are today and how close we are as a family, that's an achievement. Some people don't even have the relationship with their own family members, never mind even have to have gone through what we've gone through, and they've just had the bare minimum, but we've managed to turn that dramatic story of a bad start, if you want to call it that, to turning it to a great run. You know, obviously it's still a long ways to go for each one of us, if it means a life and career, but we've done well, obviously, from what we was to where we are today. But yeah, there's loads of stories which has happened, and of course, you know, my mum obviously would have witnessed it more and in more details.
It's incredible just to speak, like, just to hear you speak so positively, so happy, so full of life. I can just tell that in your voice that you've gone through all of this, yet you're here today, you're happy, you've got, you know, a brilliant family, and you've got a fantastic career that is, quite frankly, it's only just starting off. You've still got a long, long way to go. And I feel, from what I've been told and what I've heard, that a lot of that has come down to your faith in God. So, you know, not a lot of people these days are really that open to, you know, speaking about religion, speaking about their faith. So I was just interested to see if you could maybe just talk to us through that, really.
Yeah, you know, I've always been a believer, especially obviously what I've gone through in life. I always believed that there was a God. I've always believed that, you know, someone was out there looking out for me, guiding me, blessing me, and supporting me where I need him the most. And he was. And from a young age, you know, God's always been there, and he's played a massive part in my life, and he's always will, and he always has been. You know, and that's a credit itself, and that's a testimony where God has moved in my life and in my family's life to show that, you know, God is good, and that he is real and he does exist. You know, without God, I wouldn't be obviously here where I am today through any situation, from being alive, through illnesses, you know, just anything in general, from as small as that. And, you know, credit goes to God. Obviously, me being a Christian as well has played a massive part with my faith, with my football career, having to believe and trust God in certain situations which I felt weak or didn't have strong faith, but I had to, you know, keep going and have to believe in God to open a door in my career and a different situation which maybe I didn't expect or wasn't aware it was going to happen, but through God, you know, things have happened and turned out for the better.
And, you know, you say things turn out for the better, and they really have. You went from, you know, a war-torn country, you then went to Nigeria, to get visas, then went to Austria, and then you came over to England, and that's when you got scouted. You were living in Nottingham, and you got scouted by Derby County, who, you know, I'm a Forest fan, but... they're a big club, Derby. You know, they're a really big club, and to be scouted like that and get into the academy, that would have been amazing for you.
Yeah, it was difficult. Of course, you know, it's been a great journey being at Derby, going through the ranks from the academy to being a professional footballer at Derby as well. You know, it's been a pleasure. Obviously, I've met loads of great people along the lines. And, you know, I've met some great coaches as well, great staffs and, you know, players. Obviously, I've shared the pitch with good players as well. And it's been an honour and a pleasure to be able to do so. And obviously, with that as well, it's a journey which maybe a lot of things have happened in the along the way. But I've kept working hard and I've kept my faith to one day, you know, I'll be a professional footballer and I'll make my own name and I'll go out and I'll score goals. I'll score my own, you know, my first league goal. I'll win a title and stuff. And having done so with Accrington, it's like things are paying off. But obviously it all started from when I was young, coming to England, where my football really started. And yeah, you know, signing for Hyson Green before, that's where my life really started and my football career really kicked on. Because without Hyson Green, you know, I wouldn't be at Derby. You know, without Derby, I won't be at Accrington. And so, yeah, I mean, my journey is exciting, and I'm looking forward to what is yet to come in the near future, of course.
Before you actually came over to England, then, when you were in Austria, were you playing football then, or was it something that you just started to take up when you moved over?
I would say I was playing football, but not as serious. I was just, you know, kicking around with friends and my brothers. And I've always had a passion for football. Always wanted to be someone in the football, you know, in the football game. Always wanted to express my talent. And obviously coming to England, being scouted by Derby. But then obviously before that, I got scouted by on the park, just by a coach who, you know, who seen me and then obviously took me to Heysham Green. And then from there, my career really just started.
Yeah. Did you ever, you know, have any dreams or any aspirations when everything was happening when you were a kid that you'd ever become a professional footballer or even, you know, become a footballer in any sense?
I mean, the dream starts, obviously, it starts with it being in your head. Then it goes, obviously, you know, God putting it on your heart. And wherever God puts on your heart, you've got to believe and trust that it's going to be for great. And you've got to obviously think that you're going to succeed in it. You know, it's easy just thinking about, oh yeah, my dream is to become this person or this thing. But if you obviously don't believe in it in yourself or have faith in it, or you're not going to work hard for it, the dream is irrelative, you know. It's irrelevant, sorry. And it's just, it's as small as that, you know. Growing up, I'm sure loads of boys would want to play football, you know, with their friends. And, you know, for me, it was something which obviously was God's gift, and God's given me that talent. So I've obviously wanted to succeed in that area and fulfill it to the best I can and to maximise my talent. But I knew for a fact that maximising my talent would mean that I'd have to work extra hard and be better than other people in different areas. So yeah, it's always been my dream, but it's not been as easy as waking up and just going to kick a ball along the way.
Yeah, you definitely had to work hard to get where you are. And where you are at the minute is Accrington. So, you know, you were at Derby for, you know, many, many years, and then you signed a professional contract. I think you went out on loan, actually, to Accrington in the first place before moving permanently. So what was it then about Accrington that sort of appealed to you and made you want to go there, you know, on a permanent deal?
Well, I got told by one of my friends who played for Accrington at the time that, you know, they were interested in me. And it was something at the time when I wanted to go on loan that I needed to take to consideration, that they were in League 2, were looking to win the title and climb up the league and, you know, get promoted. And it was something which stood out to me, that also the manager wanted to, you know, have me in his team. And I just obviously just had to, you know, pray about it and just trust God in what is to come, wherever I go, if it's Accrington or elsewhere. And, you know, just basically trust the loan and just do the best I can when I go. So, you know, I did so, and yeah, obviously the rewards came out, you know, us winning the league and me having my first league title, scoring my first league goal. So yeah, but it all comes, you just, wherever you go, obviously with football, you just got to back yourself and trust the process really with what you know, and, you know, having faith in the team you're going to go to and, you know, just believing yourself really.
How was that then, scoring your first goal? It's something that, as you mentioned earlier, so many people, you know, they have aspirations, they want to become professional footballers. I was never, ever going to be good enough to play football. So I can only, you know, imagine what it would be like to score that professional goal, score that first ever goal that, you know, for this team, you know, the fans are there. So how did that feel for you?
I mean, it was quite emotional. I think it was like all my... the pain which I've gone through in the past, from young, from my career, and, you know, everything, all the emotion just coming out in that split second when I've scored my first goal. And it was kind of a kick forward to giving me that confidence to say that, you know, now I've got my first goal, you know, I can go and score more goals, I can go and do this and go this and be more relaxed, maybe, not tensed, maybe. But it was such a great moment of my career, obviously scoring my first goal for Accrington, obviously winning the penalty as well, which played, you know, the part. And you know, it was just great to share that. It was just great to share their moments of me scoring my first goal to back it up, obviously winning the league that year as well. You know, it's going to be very hard to forget, and I'm so glad that I've been blessed to be in that situation where I can look back today and be thankful that I've scored my first goal in league football. But not just that, that, you know, I've won the league as well.
As you say, you won the League Two title, got promoted, League One. It's a whole different ball game. And, you know, things will evidently start to get tougher. So how have you found that transition then from League Two up to League One?
I mean, the transition isn't that much of a difference, really. A few teams which are better than others, but, you know, it's just really... It's 11v11, you know, and you've got to trust your ability. You've got to trust your team, your teammates who you share the pitch with. Obviously, a few players left, a few players came in, but you know, the transition was not much of a shock really, because the difference don't really separate massively, and. You know, we had obviously success as well, a bit of success in League One when we came up. But then obviously beside that, you know, it's good to have a different challenge as well to, you know, going up a league, testing against different teams, going to different stadiums, playing at, you know, different stadiums, big stadiums, different opponents. And yeah, it's been good. And the journey continues, of course.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned it perfectly there, that the journey continues, but does it at the minute? That's the, you know, it's such a big red herring, you know, elephant in the room, whatever you want to call it. You know, football season, are you happy with what's happened to it, or are you just focusing on going again, whenever that may be?
You know, obviously it's happened, and until we know otherwise what's going to happen, we just got to prepare yourself for when you do go back, for when I go back to football, staying fit, you know, keeping sharp, and, you know, that's all we can do, and obviously staying safe also. But, you know, it's football and it's happened now. So I think for us, instead of just looking at it in a negative, which is, a negative, of course, you know, not being able to play football or finish off the season, but to see as a positive to, you know, having that this time to work on yourself and improve yourself to the best you can, and then being ready for whenever football starts back again.
How have you been coping then with trying to stay fit? I've seen, you know, there's so many videos, some footballers are doing this, some footballers are doing that. So I was just quite interested to know how you're managing to keep fit at the moment.
So, you know, I'm trying to keep to the routine as a training, as we were, if it was back at Accrington. And, trying to maximise my strength and conditioning maybe, or fitness, because of not being able to play 90-minute games or matches itself. It's hard to implicate, you know, the training to the game to what we can do now, because obviously we're quite limited. But yeah, I mean, just going to a park and just doing running, keeping fit, kicking a ball to a goal, doing my own drills and stuff. So that's all really.
And finally, just before we finish off, it's such a cliche question to ask, but you know, just quite interested to see what you are going to say. Where do you see your career then in 10 years? You know, most people would just say, hopefully, you know, playing internationally, playing Premier League. Is that something you see yourself doing? Is that something you're aiming to do, or are you just, you know, keeping focused on the here and now?
I think at the moment, I don't want to be thinking too ahead of myself, because there's a lot of things which I need to sort out at the moment. I think just focus on what I've got at the moment with Accrington, working hard and just doing the best I can. And hopefully when football starts back again, we can continue obviously where we left off. But I don't know where my career obviously goes from here or what is to happen. You know, I can't tell the future, but I can just be positive and just be happy that, you know, I'm at a club which has given me opportunity, and I've been able to be given a platform to you know, show my talent and to just enjoy the game, really. But in terms of what is to come, I'm not looking too far ahead because you could be distracted if you do. So I'm just trying to stay focused to what I've got at the moment.
Well, that is, you know, fantastic. So thank you for taking us through, you know, your career, how it all started off and to where you are today. So, you know, really, really do appreciate you coming on onto the podcast. So best of luck with the rest of your career. Best of luck with the season, whenever that is going to be. Just another big thanks for coming on.
No, thank you very much. You know, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for reaching out to myself. And, you know, it's been a pleasure to share my story and my career with you and everyone else, obviously, that's listening. You know, it's been great, and I'm looking forward to you know, going back, as I've said, and you know, I'm hoping that you know, football comes back sooner than later, and everyone can be all happy again and going back to their normal lives. But you know, in the meantime, obviously, we can just stay safe and, you know, help each other wherever we can. But thank you very much for having me on today, and yeah, it's been a pleasure. Appreciate it massively.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much for that.